When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the finale of Season 3 Potted Together podcast. My name is Adam and I am joined by my two awesome co-hosts, Becca and Nicole.
Hello! Hey.
Season finale!
Season finale. We're ending the season.
Da-na-na-na-na. This is going to be like the most like live episode ever since we're recording this on Sunday morning-ish.
Yeah.
And it's going up tomorrow morning.
So. Yep, like less than 12 hours. Wait, no, yeah. I'm bad at math. Anyway, moving
on. Less than 24 hours. We've never recorded a podcast with this big of a turnaround, this quick of a turnaround. Yeah. So shout out Adam. You got
shout
the stuff.
Shout out to Adam.
Yeah, no. I always edit on Sunday nights anyway, so I feel like, no biggie.
So yeah. The podcast is always fresh in your mind when it goes live the next morning. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
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 I've had times, so like, I've kind of forget, so it feels new when I listen to it. I'm like, ooh, what do we talk about?
I know, but that's how I feel like when I edit it, because I'm sitting here on my couch just like chuckling at us talking, and I was like, I was involved in this episode, but I forgot all of this happened.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, listeners, it's been a while since we've all been in recording. We were pretty far ahead. We've had some exciting things happen. Becca took a big trip, so I feel like we're gonna start with her for a catch up today.
Yeah,
because she went to Hawaii.
Yeah, I did. Okay, it was amazing. It was beautiful. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like all the things that I could say. I did make a vlog about it, a couple actually, that I'm still working on, but basically we went to the Big Island of Hawaii and then we went to Oahu and our friends were getting married, so that's the reason that we actually went. I was getting like some questions, some other interesting comments. But yeah, we went for our friend's wedding. They live there, they are farmers there, and they got married. It was beautiful. It was a small wedding and it was just like so perfect. I like being there, setting up the wedding and like helping out with all of that made me think to myself, do I want to do this? Like, do I want to do this like on the weekends?
Be a wedding planner?
Maybe like find a wedding planner and like be their assistant or something. Like, I don't know. It was just so fun to like set up the tables and be a part of that, because like I used to work at a fine dining restaurant and I loved setting the tables and like getting the restaurant ready. Like, it just felt like that, but like way more exciting because this is somebody's wedding. Mm-hmm. It was really cool.
Planning.
Yeah. Dayla so planner. First, yeah, exactly. But first on the Big Island, Dayla wedding planning, my newest business venture. No, not at all.
I'd like to join that team. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. We have a whole wedding team right
here. I mean,
yeah, we do.
I think it's amazing, but it's a different thing when it's your friends because they're like gracious and kind and lovely.
That's so
but
true.
When you get a bridezilla, it's so bad.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, this woman was the opposite of a bridezilla. She was literally like, okay, anyway, like whatever. I don't know. She just handled so much of it on her own. And I was like, I'm very amazed by this person. She was just like really cool. But before that, we were in the Big Island, and we went to Hilo, which is probably one of the more jungly areas of, like, all of the islands. Like, you have, like, Kauai, which is, like, the green island. I've heard, like, it's, like, super jungly. But Hilo, I think there's, like, a university there, and it's just super green and jungly, and we stayed in this, like, jungle hut in this person's land where they were like growing plants, and it was just so cool. It was completely open. It was like, screened in little huts, and like you literally go to the bathroom and it's just like open air and you're like looking out into all of these trees. And I'm like, wow, this is really an immersive experience.
Yeah.
I was watching your video and the whole time I was thinking, but where's the air's no air conditioning.
Yeah, there was no air conditioning. But like, but we was it never hot? No, not at all.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And like the daytime temps was like between 70 and 80. But like nighttime, it would get down to like 50, 60. So it was so nice. Like I was almost a little cold, like sleeping in like the hot place. Like I don't think I ever was actually hot when I was in Hawaii. Because like, number one, it's winter. So like the temps aren't as big. But like obviously it's an island, so they don't really have winter. Although it does snow there sometimes, like on the big mountains. But yeah, so... it was a great time to go. However, the water, like the ocean was different than it would be in the summer. Like the ocean would be better in the summer. Like we were talking to our friends and they're like, yeah, the waves are a lot smaller in the summer, but that's okay. Like the water was still really warm. And speaking of the water, we went shark cage diving, which was so interesting. Like,
oh my god.
No.
I
couldn't pay me.
Be a hard no for me.
I know. Daniel was he's always wanted to do it, so he was like so stoked, and I was like, "Okay, I'll do this with you." Like whatever. It's not my bucket list item, but I'll just do it with him. So, we went to do it. This is when we were at our friend's farm. So, he's like, "Yeah, I mean, you should be fine. Like whatever. Go to this place." So, we went
be fine.
we went and like we got on the boat, the waves were so big, and like the whole time I'm like, I'm not even scared of the sharks, like I just don't have that fear. If we're gonna be in a cage around these sharks, and like this happens a lot, they're probably used to this, so I'm like, I was like, I'm probably pretty sure we're gonna be fine at the very least, we will survive. But I was concerned about the boat ride out because the waves were so big. It was so rocky and so bad. Like, and Daniel and I get carsick. I get motion sickness on a hammock. Like, not for me. So I was like, I'm gonna die. This is it for me. So we're like going out, like the boat is like jumping. Like you guys listening cannot see this, but this was literally the boat. up and down like big time. And then sometimes the waves would hit us at an angle, so then it was side to side, like it was just like insane. And so actually the real hazard of it all was the shark cage, not even the sharks, because they were Galapagos sharks, which like taste things with their nose, so they're like pretty much never gonna bite into a human, like because they're gonna taste you with their nose and be like, oh, I don't want that. And so that's like number one, that fact alone, I was like, okay, I'm fine. And then so we get out into the cage and the water was so rough. I was like body slammed into the cage like 3 or 4 times, full on body slammed, like smacked my head bad. Oh, no. And that was literally just because like the cage was like holding you in, which like honestly you want that, or else you'd probably get lost at sea with waves like that. But like it was holding you in this place and the waves were just rocking you.
So, was that normal for the waves to be that high?
Yeah, they were so high. And, like, the cage was moving. It was so wild. But then you go underwater, and it's, like, so serene. And, like, you can see the sharks just, like, swimming around. Like that, it was so cool to see them. Like, that was honestly one of the coolest things that I've seen, just to, like, see them swimming along and just, like, doing life. And, like, they hear the sound of the boats, so they come up. So, like, there was a lot of them. And they're like basically, it's because of like crab fishermen, they'll like drop off the things that they, so then the sharks eat the stuff. But anyway, they don't know that it's a tourist boat and not a crab boat. So anyway, yeah, so Dan and I were doing great in the cage. And then like towards the end, I think we were in there for like 20 minutes, which is such a long time when you think about it. And at the end, we were both like, this is not going good for us. Like, we're starting to get... I'm getting nauseous even thinking about it, actually. I'll make this quick. So, yeah, we started to feel sick. And then we got off the cage into the boat. And we were just in survival mode. Like, we're like, get it together. Daniel was having a much harder time than me. We did take medicine before we got on. But, like, it was no point. No point. Did nothing, really. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
At least you're at sea, so you could just, like, hurl over the side of the boat, you know?
Yeah, but, like, who wants to do that? Who wants to throw up in public?
No one.
Other people can see. Like, there were definitely people throwing up, and, like, there's one person I watched her do it, and I was like, why did I watch? Why did I just watch that? Like, why? Like, I didn't, like, choose. I didn't say to myself, I'm gonna watch her. But, like, I was watching her because she looked like she was gonna get sick, and I was, like, curious. You know, like, you just
I would have been watching too.
I mean, so, like, there has got happened, to be there has to be, like, some type of high reward for me to, like, know I'm going out there and gonna experience this wave motion sickness and be around multiple people vomiting.
Yeah, it was pretty hard. And, like, Daniel didn't throw up, I didn't throw up, and because Daniel, he just, like, put his head down and closed his eyes, like, after we got out of the cage, he's like, I have to do this or else I will throw up. I'm like, that's fine, you do what you need to do. So, like, I had to, you know, like, it's a partnership, so when one person is kind of, like, fading, the other person has to pick up the slack. Yeah. So I had to be the one, even though I was also very sick, I had to be the one that was like, oh, everything's fine, like, we're good, like, this is so much fun. Like, the captain kept, like, checking in on him, like, oh, he's fine, don't worry. And I, meanwhile, I'm like,
oh, gosh.
So anyway, we both fell asleep on the ride back, and then we were totally fine, like, perfectly, like, whatever. So anyway, would I say it's worth it? No. I think
long story short.
Yeah, I think you could get a very similar experience just, like, watching the shows, like, shark. Like, honestly, because when I went underwater, that's what it looked like, except I had to be underwater for a long time to see all the good shots. So just watch Shark Week and you'll probably get the same, like, same experience without, like, watching people throw up for, like, 2 hours over the side of a boat. There's this one woman, I'm like, how does she have anything left? Like, she is not well. And there was people who were, like, not throwing up. They were sitting down. They're like, wonder what it's like to be seasick, blah, blah. They kept making comments like that. And there was this girl who was like, screw you. Yeah, she was, like, just, like, talking about how her friend, like, looked so sick. She's like, man, you look really sick. Like, and her friend was, like, not well. And she's like, oh, I thought you were gonna throw up right there. And I'm like, bitch, you are not a good friend. This is not a good friend. Like, don't be her friend. Like, she was, like, laughing at other people, like, not doing well, and she was, like, flirting with the captain, and she kept, like, turning around to her friend to be like, look, like, you know what I mean? I'm like, this girl.
Oh no.
What is it like to be able to be, like, flirting on a boat at that state?
We all had one of those friends, you know?
I know. Can't relate.
But also, to speak for Becca, if you own a shark sightseeing company, we apologize for this advice that Becca's just given.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go in the summertime when, like, the waves are not huge, and it would probably be way better.
So that's not normal. Like, they normally don't take people. Like, the water's not normally that rough.
In the winter, it is. But in the summer, no. Mm-hmm. And he said, like, there's certain days in the winter where it'll be really, like, normal and, like, flat, and that's always, like, a really good day. But he said, like, in the winter, like, a lot of days are like the one that we had, and I was like, well, okay. I mean, it's really, like, the luck of the draw. Okay. It's like the weather, you can't really control it. So yeah, but other than that, like, it was just really sweet to, like, see all the plants. Like, obviously we saw so many plants in their natural environment, and it was just really cool, number one, to, like, see that. And, like, we were both vaccinated, so it was really easy to, like, get around and do things. Like, there are some people who messaged me concerned about that. Like, I wouldn't travel if I wasn't. So, you know, we followed all the guidelines. Hawaii was really strict, and we were fine. Like, there was nothing that we couldn't do. So, I guess it just depends on which island you go to as well, because Oahu was a lot more strict than the Big Island. So, but yeah, I mean, obviously, with traveling, like, being a thing again, like, just be safe, like, be mindful of the people who actually live there. And I'm not going to be going to Hawaii every year. It was like, I don't know if I'll really ever go again. I don't know. But we went because we were invited to a wedding. So that's why. Otherwise, that's, I don't so know fun. If we would have, you know, just given everything. So that is basically the trip. there's so much more, and you can watch my vlog, but for just for the sake of my friends not having to hear it again, I'll leave it at that.
Oh, stop.
So I need to ask, like, did you get any of this shark footage for, like, the vlog?
Yes.
Are we gonna see it?
Yes, you will see my Shark Week footage. we did get footage, and, like, we were trying so hard to get footage of one of us underwater with the sharks in the background, and, like,
yeah,
being attractive underwater, or just, like, being, like, presentable underwater is, like, a skill that I don't have, and neither does Daniel, so I don't know, like, how good of footage. I got good footage of the sharks, okay? But that might be it. Because we were like, oh, like, take a video of, like, me down here with the sharks swimming in the background. And we're like, yeah, let's do it. And, like, we try. And it's just, like, us, like, flailing our arms around, like, trying to stay underwater. It's, like, so bad.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, did you get a GoPro?
Yeah, we've had a GoPro. We got it for our wedding.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Did not know/remember that, because then your first vlog there was that shot of you swimming underwater, and I was like, did she get a GoPro? I was like so excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the GoPro, I think the 8. It was the one that came out in 2019. And now there's like so many more. There's one that it can like show you like what's on this, like it has like a front camera, quote unquote, of sorts, which is so cool. But you know, it's a wide angle lens, so like you're gonna be in the shot. Like just point it remotely in your direction and you'll be
exactly
fine.
Mine has the front camera, which is nice. But you know, editing the GoPro footage for me on my computer is awful, because it's 4K footage, and it just like I have to create proxies to then toggle those proxies so it doesn't like so it can actually flow in real time, or else it's just choppy.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's you awful. Have to like convert it in some way. I didn't have to do that this time, because like before. I mean, yeah, I've had the GoPro for a while. We just don't really use the footage because it's choppy like that. But I think with my new phone, it was able to, like, convert it or something properly. Mm-hmm. My old phone couldn't do it. So, yeah, that was an interesting thing. And, oh, also, when we were there, we went to an octopus, like, farm. It wasn't a farm, like, they eat them. It was, like, a observation thing, and that was really cool to like see an octopus and like have it like latch onto you. It was so wild, and it was all very controlled and like safe environment. Like it was definitely like priority of the octopi.
Octopuses. Yeah, that footage was really cool.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen these vlogs, you really do need to go. The first one was on the De La Creations channel, Becca's second channel, right?
Yeah.
And it was so cool. Honestly, when you walked out of the octopus thing and you were eating your acai bowl and you were just like mad that someone came over when you coaxed the octopus out, I'd laughed so hard at that. You're like, no, this is mine.
Yeah, because you have to work so hard to get the octopus to come out because they're under a rock and like you don't want to reach into the rock because that's like their safe. It's like reaching into a dog's kennel. Like you can't do that.
Yeah.
Because they're going to bite you. So yeah, you have to like just have your hands. They had like little toys, like little Legos that you could like the octopus would like latch onto the toys and like play with them. Like it was really cool. And I was there for so long at this one and it was slowly coming out. Yeah. And then everybody came over because like I think they were tired because we were the second tour of the day. So maybe try to be the first tour if you want to do that. I mean, this is such niche, like, advice. Like, literally no one's going to go, but, you know. Try to be the first one because they were really tired when we got there and they did not want to come out. It was like, oh, somebody made a joke. Classic white guy on vacation. So since none of the octopi came out, like, do we get a discount or do we get a refund? Wrong. And, like, he was joking, but I was like, is he, though? Like,
no.
Is he? Ooh. Yeah, it was kind of awkward, but it was kind of expensive for, like, to, like, not really interact. I was like, oh, all right, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Anyway, I saw a bar brawl last thing. I saw my first bar brawl.
Oh,
we went to a bar on Halloween. It was almost not even worth it because, obviously, with how COVID is, like, you had to, like, sit at a table. But we still, like, we met some people and they sat at our table and, you know, whatever. And then there was a bar brawl. Like, the guy who started the fight.
I wish you got some footage of that. That would have been great.
I know. Yeah, the guy who started the fight actually came up to us before the fight started and he picked up Daniel's drink. and he thought it was his drink. And Daniel was like, what are you doing, man? And then he, like, looked up, like, he had just, like, had a fog unleash his eyes, and he, like, looked so confused and, like, walked away.
Drunk.
It was wild.
Oh, gosh.
And then he started, oops, sorry. And then he started a fight. So, anyway, that was the trip. More on my channels. but, yeah.
Oh, it looked like so much fun, and I really want to go to that place that you guys stayed, because I was like, an outdoor shower has been like my number one dream. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know why. And it's an easily attainable dream. I don't know why. I'm like, oh, I can't do this.
You could do it at your house.
Yeah.
I know. I could. but no, I'd rather go to Hawaii to take an outdoor shower.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
But I don't think I would have slept very well the first night either, because if I arrived in the dark and couldn't see the environment,
mm-hmm.
and then I had to sleep in basically like an open-sided tent.
Yeah.
I would feel uneasy the entire night because I wouldn't know what's around me.
Yeah. It was a bit strange, like definitely very strange. And like we got in so late, we weren't supposed to get in that late. Like our flight was delayed. So we were supposed to be in like 2 hours earlier to like see and like have like a full day there. So we ended up wishing that we had more time in Hilo. Because it was just so much more beautiful and, like, less city, less developed, you know. So, that would be my suggestion. Like, don't go to Hawaii to go to, like, the cities. I mean, sure, go, but, like, a city is a city, I think. And, like, usually when I travel, unless it's, like, Paris. Like, obviously, you go to Paris to go to Paris. But, like, I don't know. I would rather, like, be in the countryside of, like, most places because I just find that so much more beautiful for me. Personally,
yeah, I definitely lived vicariously through you that whole time you were out there. I was like, Becca, did she post in stories? Dang it, she didn't post anymore on stories.
Yeah,
it looked beautiful.
Yes, well, that's all. So I want to hear what you guys have been up to because we haven't recorded in like 3 weeks.
I know.
Yeah, we haven't. So this catch up might get a slightly lengthy. And I forgot to tell you guys what our episode's about today. We're doing the Potted Together Holiday Gift Guide, as well as answering listener questions that we didn't get to in season 3. So there's about 6 or 7 questions at the end that we'll answer. We're going to talk about gift guides, but we'll continue on with our catch up and move on to Nicole and find out what you have been doing these past few weeks.
Well, since I can't remember what I ate for lunch today, I'll tell you what I've been doing the past couple of days, because 2 weeks ago, that's long gone, okay? But we did take all of our Christmas decorations down, and we're going through our holiday decor, because if you're new here, hi, I moved in with my mom this year, and we pretty much combined 2 pretty big households, and my mom and I both absolutely love Christmas, and we have a lot of things. So here, this is something we were talking about before we started recording, and we thought it was a good topic to bring up during our catch up. Are you someone who decorates like before Thanksgiving, like you need your tree up at Thanksgiving when you host dinner, or do you decorate after Thanksgiving? What do you guys do? Is there a rule?
After
Thanksgiving.
I am, as soon as I want to, I'll put it up.
As soon as it's got
yours
your
is already up, isn't it?
Well, we bought a new tree for the merman ornaments. So I since I was cleaning the house, I decided to just put that tree up because it was there in a box, and I was like, okay, well, since the floors are cleared, I can fluff the tree and sweep up all the stuff easily. Mm-hmm. So
okay, right. I'm an after person too, but immediately after.
Yeah.
Like the Friday after Thanksgiving, like that morning we spend decorating. It's been a tradition for like the past, I don't even know how long, since I was a kid.
Yeah. Macy's Day Parade, decorate for Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was hard this year though, because I feel like, well, it was hard last year too, because just like mentally, I feel like people were decorating November 1st for Christmas last year. Which, why not? Like, you're home all day anyway, who cares? And like when you have that as many decorations as we have, like our house is a literal winter wonderland. It's a lot to just have up for what, like 4 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
But we usually leave our stuff up until New Year's, like New Year's Eve, like the day after we'll take it down. But we ordered a new tree because my mom's tree was like 5 feet. And I was like, oh, I can't be taller than the Christmas tree. Like, there's rules to this, okay? There's rules to this. So I ordered a 7.5-foot tree, and it was supposed to be here yesterday. And I was like, oh, man, it's going to come. I'm going to want to put it up. I don't know what to do, you know? But it was late. It's late. It's now it's going to be here, like, the day before Thanksgiving. I was like, okay, I could wait a couple extra days then. But, yeah, so.
Christmas trees are just the best.
Yeah.
Is it like a sparse tree? Have you seen like the new sparse tree trend? Is it like that?
It's very full, but that's because we have a lot of ornaments. I feel like those sparse trees, though, are really, really pretty if you're looking to just like put it up without anything on it. Like almost like a minimalistic Christmas type thing, you know? Like they're really pretty.
Yeah.
But no, I got a pretty full tree, and it's pre-lit.
Always pre-lit.
Okay, here's another question. Are you colored lights or white lights?
White lights. Always white.
White lights.
Except for the merman tree, that's color because, you know, vibes.
Obviously. Yeah. Obviously. Okay, so you guys are all white lights?
Yeah, big white light energy. Because, like, I don't want it to be too much. Like...
Yeah, me too. Sorry, my mom's colored. My mom is all colored lights, and I'm like, okay, this is really gonna test my anxiety because I don't know. I want to put garland around the banisters because we have like banisters going upstairs, and this is the first time I've ever had a house that has like a railing and like a mantle, you know?
Yes.
So I'm like, just give me the staircase and the mantle, and like. And the tree. And then you could, like, put your colored lights everywhere else, you know? So there's going to be colored lights outside. Like, the whole outside of the house is going to be multi-colored. But,
I feel like the newer pre-lit trees, which I was not a pre-lit tree fan until they came out with, like, the LEDs. Because, you know, back in the day when you had to, like, go through every single bulb, it was the worst.
Yeah.
But our new tree can go between color lights and white lights.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
So your tree can probably do that, too. So it's a versatile tree.
You can choose. Also, real or fake tree. That's another one. You guys both have fake trees. Have you always been fake tree people?
Yeah, but I could tell you a funny story.
I do like real trees, though.
Mm-hmm. See, I was a fake tree. We were a fake tree family my whole life. I never even considered a real tree. And then I married Daniel and, like, had a roommate who always had real trees. And since then, I've been a real tree person. Because just the thought of storing this big thing, this huge box for an entire year... I don't like that. Like, to me, I'm like, oh, it's so annoying to always have to store my Christmas tree. But we did it growing up. Like, you just put it in the garage. But I don't want to do that. I'm not there yet.
So you get a real tree? Like, do you go cut it down and all that? Do you go to a tree farm?
I want to do that this year. Like, I would love to do that because that's, like, a big thing here. But, like, the last couple of years, we've just, like, gone somewhere and just picked one out. And... I think I want to try to find like a more sparse-ish tree this year as well, if I can. I don't know if that really exists in the real tree realm. I don't know.
Maybe.
Just cut some branches off.
Yeah, just get in there and just like
DIY a sparse
thin
tree.
It out a little bit. Yeah. Maybe you could start a trend. Yeah, I'm a fake tree girl, and I had a tree for like 7 years. And that last year, like, every week, a strand of lights would go out. And then I was, like, replacing it with, like, a strand of lights. So the following year, it just had all these lights on it. None of them worked. The extra spare ones I bought for it didn't work. I had, like, this complete mental breakdown. And Jay, it was too late to, like, buy a fake tree because you couldn't find them anywhere. Mm-hmm. And Jay went out and bought a real tree. And that was like the only year we had a real tree. And I liked it a lot, but it's a lot of maintenance.
Yeah, you have to water it and
It's a plant, you know?
I would love to get a potted tree and like keep it outside all year and then bring it in. but I cannot find a potted Christmas tree. And this person I follow from Oregon, she finds them pretty easily, but she uses the same tree like for like 3 years in a row. She still has it. And it's getting bigger. It's like growing. It's so wild.
So it literally put roots out in a pot and yeah, it's just growing.
I think it was grown in the pot to begin with. Like it wasn't like cut and then put in the pot.
Because they die pretty quickly.
Yeah, it just like has always lived in a pot. And yeah, they bring it in and out like outside in the, obviously like after Christmas, and then they bring it back in. Like it's just so wild to me.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
I know.
So what's your guys' tree aesthetics? Are you more of like a Mod Podge? Do you just have one tree? What is it?
We're going to have two now. My mom's going to put her little tiny 5-foot tree in her bedroom because she has tall ceilings, and then with her colored lights. and then we're going to have the other one downstairs. So we'll have two, and we'll have a little mini one. But we have ornaments from years of growing up, like with the kids, and then like my childhood ornaments, and so we have like a ton of different. It's like a kid Christmas tree. Like every ornament has a story, kind of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But with the garland, like I like to just do like felt ball garland and keep it pretty simple, and then obviously white lights. So it has like a. It has like a more white, like neutral kind of vibe, but also with like a bunch of different ornaments on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Well, we have the merman ornaments, you know, mm-hmm. so that tree is just like very flamboyant. And
where is that tree?
It's in like the front room, you know? Okay. So, and then our other tree is, I like the white lights obviously, and it has a little more like, I don't know, like a farmhouse type of feel. But then I have like a sparse tree that I call like a travel tree. So we get an ornament every time we go somewhere. And then that goes on like the tree. So it's like a memory tree. But for now, those have been on the big tree because we don't have a ton. But I think that eventually we'll have like a skinnier, like kind of sparsely branched mm-hmm. tree that just has all of our like ornaments from our travels, because I think that's fun to like every Christmas you kind of just like when you're decorating the tree you bring back all those memories of those times.
Yeah.
I love
so that. You have three. So what about you, Becca?
Where does your third tree go? Is that in your bedroom?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we currently have, well, we just do the one real tree. But I have a Norfolk Island pine, so I might want to do. I still have it, like, but it's funny looking. Like, it lost a lot of its lower branches, but the branches that are at the top are like getting wider. So like, it's fine. I'm, you know, whatever. But I might decorate that one a little bit. Maybe put like a few like small ornaments on it. But we normally only have the big tree, and then it is just a mess of like homemade kid ornaments and like just ornaments that I've gotten as gifts over the years. And I'm thinking that I might want to put a fake tree in our room and then put all of those there and then get our real tree this year and make that a pretty tree.
Yeah, have like a theme to it.
Yeah. We always did that as a kid. Like, we had our kid tree, and then my mom had, like, a beautiful tree that she, like, curated. And I thought it was so silly. I was like, why would you even do that? These are our ornaments. But then, like, year after year, I'm like, this looks so dumpy. Like, with all these weird and random. But those are the ones that are really sweet to, like, go through and be like, oh, remember when we made this?
Yeah.
So, like, I would want to have a tree like that still, but, you know, aesthetically, a tree in my living room is so tiny, so like I just don't even know how we're gonna like do this year, but we'll make it work. But I would like an aesthetic tree this year.
Yeah, it is. It's fun to get all the ornaments out and to like reminisce and to tell like the girls what like, these ornaments are to me because I have, like, my childhood ornaments on there. And mm-hmm. my mom has some of hers. So it's just, like, been, like, a big hand-me-down, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. We should all do pet paw ornaments.
Oh.
Oh. That would be cute.
Yeah.
Really
cute.
your Leo and Cooper ornaments. They are so cool.
Yeah, oh yeah, so the painted ones. I forgot about that. Gosh. I was like, wait, what are you talking about? Yeah.
I think I need to get the information for those because I thought it would be cute to have mm-hmm. for like yeah. our pets.
Those would
and
be good for
pets
a gift
as well.
Too.
Yeah. I got it for my mom. I need to find that. We're going to see my parents tomorrow for Thanksgiving, so I need to find that so I can bring it to her. But the Animal Artistry on Instagram makes like pet portrait ornaments, and it's amazing. I want more pet portraits. I want lots of portraits of my dogs just everywhere. It's so cute.
Wait, you're going to Arizona tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Dang.
Are you flying?
She busy.
Yeah, it was like a last minute. Like, okay, we always knew that we were going to go, but like we didn't book anything for like a long time. So we booked it like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so expensive. That's why we kept waiting because we were like, we don't want to do it. But the price just kept going up because that's how it works. But yeah. we found like a pretty cheap deal through like Spirit Airlines. I don't know how this is going to go. Like, I really don't know.
We'll pray you get there.
I see TikToks about Spirit all the time.
I know. Like, literally the fact that it was a third of the price of literally even Southwest, every other airline, I'm like, this is not going to be good. Like, bring a pillow for your butt. Like,
or to sleep in the airport.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
It's going to be, it'll be an interesting experience. Like, we've flown Allegiant before, but, like, I feel like Allegiant is, like, a pretty good budget airline. Mm-hmm. Frontier is okay. I just have never flown Spirit, so I'm just very interested to see how this will go.
Yeah. Well, yikes. It could be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be great. It's only, like, 3 hours. It's a direct flight to Phoenix, so...
Oh, okay.
I mean, hey, you put up with American Airlines bullshit. I feel like you're prepared.
Oh my gosh. Literally nothing could be worse than American. Like, literally nothing in this world could be worse than American Airlines.
That's like all I fly to, but like after all your drama, I'm like,
I mean,
looking to Southwest.
If you have a great experience, just like ride that out. I don't know what it is. Maybe there's like a log and they're like, this person has given us issues, so we're going to keep giving them issues. Like, I don't know. It's so strange. Like, certain people just have great or horrible experiences, and it's just totally random. We just happen to get gate agents who are just super snippy all the time. And Daniel and I, you guys know us. We're really giggly, agreeable people, but we still get those people that are, like, so... They've had a bad day, and I don't blame them. They're at work. Like, listen, I'm not a person that's going to get mad at you for not wanting to be at work. But also, like, whatever. Okay, you know what? No. Adam, how was your week?
You know what? No.
You know, we're not gonna give American Airlines any airtime. Like, they don't deserve any promo.
Gosh, I mean, things have been good with me. We leave for our cruise this week. We leave on Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, it's coming up so quickly, but I'm really excited. I've always been extra cautious of COVID. I've never had to take a COVID test, and we have to take one on Friday. So I'm a little nervous about that because you have to have a test within 2 days of boarding the ship.
Mm-hmm. Even being fully vaccinated?
Yeah, even being fully vaccinated.
Okay.
So we bought some at-home tests that I think you can take like over a computer call with a doctor or some kind of service where they watch you do it in case. But we booked a test here in town. I'm a little nervous about it though, because like I said, I've never had to do one. But
does it have to be a specific test? Like, did they say what test?
No, I don't think it has to be a specific test, because I think, well, I don't even know the difference in the test, but there's like a PCR test that's like, is that the one you do at home or something? I don't know.
I think PCR is what they want for travel.
That's what they like send into the actual lab. The rapid test is the one that usually I think you could get at home, or they could give you a rapid test. You get the results right away.
Yeah. I think the rapid test they'll accept, but we're going to a testing site on Friday afternoon to get our test, and then we leave Friday night. we'll get into Florida Saturday morning and we get a ship, get on the ship on Sunday morning. So I'm excited.
Is this your first
so
cruise?
Nervous and excited. Yeah, it is my first like major cruise. I went on a cruise in 2011.
Oh, right.
And it was one of those things where it was like kind of just an overnight. Mm-hmm. It was an overnight there and back. So I'm a little nervous about the motion sickness because I do struggle with motion sickness. And a lot of people are like, the ship is so big that you honestly won't feel it. But I'm like, I'm still a little scared that I'm going to feel it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Dude, where are you going to go again?
We are going to Princess Cruises Private Island for the first day. And then we go to St. Kitts, the Virgin Islands, a couple of the Virgin Islands, and then back to Florida.
Okay.
Wow. That's so fun. So, clear blue catch water.
Catch me finding a nude beach and just laying there all day.
Hell yeah.
Just kidding. But I want to.
Let's see that footage.
Oh my gosh. Do it.
But yeah. So I've been trying to be better. Even though we leave on Friday, I still have not done my laundry, which I need to do so I can pack.
Well, yeah, but you'll do it Thursday. You've got a week. The day before.
I'll do it Thursday. I'm in process of cleaning the house because my friend Zach, who's... owns Hank, is coming to stay here, so we didn't have to board the cats.
Oh, good.
And I kind of just love coming home from vacation to a clean house. Yes. You know, when you come home from vacation and your house is still like untidy, which is the majority of the time my home is, it's just like, ugh. But when you come home and your house is already clean, it's just a good feeling.
Yeah, that's a big thing for me. I can't go anywhere unless it's like clean.
That's why Nicole's never invited over.
Wait, I had a question and now it slipped my mind. Shoot.
About the cruise? About
Florida. Are you doing anything for Thanksgiving though? Like, are you guys just going to stay there?
We're going to go to my friend Jessica's house, her and her family.
Okay.
The folks we went to Disney with. And we're just going to have a little dinner there. Yeah.
Fun. So, Becca, you're going to be in Arizona this whole week then, coming up?
Yeah.
Are you taking the dogs?
No. We're giving them to Daniel's mom again.
Did she watch them when you were in Hawaii?
Mm-hmm.
That's so nice that she's close enough.
Yeah. And actually, we don't even have to drive up this time because Daniel's friend is from the same town his mom lives in. So they're staying the night tonight because they were passing through. And they're just going to take the dogs with them.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's convenient. Very cool.
But yeah, other than that, I feel like that's taken up most of my brain space. I have been making YouTube videos consistent for a month.
Yes, so you have. Hello.
I'm here for it.
And that's been fun. Because I feel like I was avoiding YouTube for the longest time. Like even watching videos because I was just like, I felt guilty that I wasn't making videos. But now I'm like kind of getting back into it and like watching videos again. And I was like, oh, yeah. But...
Yeah, you look genuinely happy in your videos. Mm-hmm. You do. Like, it doesn't look like it's a struggle. Like, I don't know. Because we know you, I'm kind of like, oh my God, he's happy. He's making a video. Yay! Yeah. You know?
Yeah, it was fun to, like, get creative again. But, yeah. So I was happy about that. Except, you know, what I don't miss is that all of the comments about, like, can I buy a cutting of that? Can I buy a cutting of that? Like, did I say it was for sale? No. Like, I know I'm showing off a pretty, like, beautiful plant, but, like... Please don't do that. Don't be that person.
Yeah.
Don't be that person.
I don't know why that drives me nuts, but I'm just like, it makes me not want to show plants because I'm a people pleaser and saying no is tough. Mm-hmm. So when someone slides into my DMs or sends me a comment and they're like, can I buy this? Are you selling cuttings? Like having to say no, it sucks. So like, I hate it. So just don't do that.
Just don't answer it.
You will definitely... say if you're selling cuttings, like you will make that announcement,
make it clear. It's also hard to like talk about like decluttering online because then everyone's like, oh, just send it to me, or like, I'll take it, I'll drive to you and take it. And I'm like, please stop. Like, I understand the intention, it's so well intended, and I'm not like it's nothing personal, but it's just like, it's just not. I'm explaining that I'm overwhelmed and I don't want to organize giving it away.
Yeah.
Which means I don't want to organize giving it away to you.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
In the nicest way.
But yeah.
In the nicest way possible.
That's about it for me. So I guess we can 45 minutes in, we can get our episode started.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket. Outsourcing business tasks you hate. What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Well, wait, really quickly. I just had one more question. Just because we're going to come back after the holiday. So I have to just know what you guys are doing for Christmas. Like, do you have plans? Where are you going to be? What are you going to do?
Ooh.
Like, recap, like, quickly.
I'm going to Iowa for Christmas. We're going to spend it with Dan's fam.
Very nice.
Nice.
What are you doing, Adam?
I am staying here, and it'll just probably be Steve and I. We usually do, like, gifts in the morning and then go on an afternoon bike ride. So
it's
like
been
a little Christmas tradition.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Very Tucson.
Yeah.
It is very, yeah.
I mean, very Phoenix. You're not from Tucson. Sorry. Wow.
Oh, I thought you said visit Tucson. Okay, cool. We're just going to stay here too.
Yeah.
But my stepdad's family, he's got a pretty big family, sister, nieces, nephews, grandkids, great grandkids. We might host Christmas. So we might have like 20 plus people in our house.
Nice.
Oh, I love that.
That's great.
Yeah. And it'll feel very different because it's usually me, Jay, the girls for Christmas Eve. And then Christmas Day is just me and Jay. Like that's how it's been the past almost 10 years. So it'll be very different to have a house full of people, but I think it'll be nice because Jay really misses his family. We don't get to New York ever. It's just so crazy with traveling. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a big family. So it's kind of cool that like my mom married into a big family, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got all these people now.
Oh, since we've spoken last, some big events have happened. Taylor Swift released her version of Red.
Yes. Yeah, she did.
Adele released her album 30.
So
I mean,
good.
Come on. I was never like a huge Taylor Swift fan until 1989 came out, and I was like, I kind of like this. And I know that was her first pop album, but I've been like into all of the Taylor Swift stuff since then. Like, yeah. I'm all for it. Yeah.
Go back now that you're into her, though. Go back and listen to some more of her like newer stuff, like her country stuff. She's amazing.
Yeah, she's good.
I love her so much. So many people don't, and I don't get it. She's just great.
Yeah. She's just like she's one of the most talented songwriters ever. Truly, ever. Yeah. I mean, everything is her. Yeah. She wrote all of it. Like, she wrote some of the most iconic lyrics ever, at least of my generation, like, and yours. So,
yeah.
Weird that we're not in the same generation technically, but you know.
I know.
Jake Gyllenhaal, give her her fucking scarf back. Gosh.
What a horrible person. Did you guys watch the All Too Well music video, the 10-minute video?
Oh, yeah. I was there when the countdown was happening because I was like, I got to watch this premiere.
It was so good. Well, I mean,
it was good.
I lately haven't been much of a Taylor fan. Like, I liked her music, prior to, like, I stopped listening around, like, Evermore and Folklore. Wait, is that what they're called? Yeah.
Yeah.
Those albums, like, they were just so different. And I really like her more, like, upbeat poppy stuff. So I haven't listened to her that much anymore. But, like, her new Taylor's Version albums, of course, I'm streaming them because she gets that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Freaking Scooter Braun.
Have you seen Miss Americana?
Oh, yeah. Loved it.
Okay. Yeah, it was really good.
So good, yeah. So, so good.
Okay.
Okay, well, gift guide.
Gift guide, okay.
The Potted Together gift guide. So we're going to give... I think we're going to give some recommendations that listeners submitted to us on IG, Instagram. We ask what some great places to shop would be for these holiday seasons, and we've got some great answers. And then I think we're also going to throw in a little of our, maybe like our favorite things. That would be great gifts for any plant lover. Mm-hmm. So if you have, if you are a plant lover, which I'm guessing you are since you're listening to this podcast, maybe you can just give a timestamp and send this epi to a friend and be like, get me any of these.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Or they could just sit through our catch up.
Yeah, right.
That's funny. Okay, I feel like plant gifts, it's so much more like plant accessories, plant art, plant maybe pots and stuff like that. Because like giving somebody a plant can be, for me, like kind of stressful because I don't know anyone's environment super well. But like giving them something related to plants, I just find way easier. So like that's what I tend to go for personally.
And I think a lot of our listeners wrote in with plant shops, like specific plant mm-hmm. places. There are a couple of plant gifts like that are not plant related or plant related, but they're not actual plants. Mm-hmm. But I'll read a couple of the plant shops just in case you have a plant friend and you do know their environment, or maybe you live together or whatever the case is, we'll definitely give you some of those shops. So
also, just before we start, these mm-hmm. will be on our Instagram, and I think we're going to create a highlight bubble. So we're going to put these in stories tomorrow when this episode goes live, but then I think we'll create a highlight bubble so it'll be there for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I heard a bunch of laughing.
I know. I hope that my mic did not pick that up. I think they're playing like, Mario Kart or something. They're playing on our Nintendo right now. And I'm working. Wow. No, I'm just kidding.
Let's make this quick.
I'm here with you chums.
I'm joking. This is fun.
Okay, so the first one in our suggested for plant gifts is forage plants. And this person said that they have such a broad selection of amazing plants and plant accessories. So that might be a cool place to check out if they also have plant accessories. Maybe you can get like a plant and a plant accessory from the same place, which would be nice. Mm-hmm.
This person says local plant shops, extra points if they're Black, Brown, and queer owned. So that's a really great point to like, obviously we want to support local as much as we can through the holiday season. And, you know, put your money in good places.
100% agree. And there's so many around all of us. Like, you can even go on Etsy and look up, you know, like, women-owned or, you know, Black-owned shops, and it'll like, they have a whole section on Etsy just dedicated to...
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't shop on Etsy very often, but that's nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I actually have... Wait, this is going up tomorrow. On Black Friday, I have a video coming out. It's called... It's going to be called Shop Small. And I'm highlighting 13 small companies, most of which are on Etsy. And Etsy's great. Like, I mean, especially if you're looking to shop small and support small businesses, I think they're great. But yeah, you can definitely find people in your area, like small businesses in your area that you could support too. Mm-hmm. Okay, another one, someone else said Rooted is one of their favorites, which I feel like I've heard of Rooted, but I'm not sure where they're located. But this will all be in stories, so you can easily find it.
Okay, this one is really interesting. This is not a plant shop, but Not Your Nana's Yarn Work. Or Not Your Nana's Yarn Work, depending. And it says, warning, not safe for work, but she makes body part cacti out of yarn.
Oh.
Can I tell you how much I love when young people take on these traditionally, like, old person crafts and just makes it, like, so young. Like, I don't know if I know of any, like, elderly person who would make, like, yarn boobs, but... Not Your Nana's Yarn probably does. So that's Not Your Nana's Yarn Work. Well, again, that'll be on our highlight.
Yeah, that's so
funny. My mom, growing up, like she's done cross stitch and I've done cross stitch too. Like I really mm-hmm. enjoy it. But I love, like you said, like the shops that pop up and they're just like, the cross stitch just says like, fuck the patriarchy. Like all of this like stuff that like, you know, I love it. It's so good.
It is so fun. I mean, These things are not only for old people. Young people can also, like, have fun. And it's just, there's no age.
Okay. Another one is Groovy Plants Ranch, which I'm just digging that name. They're family owned and they ship to all 50 states. So that's kind of cool. Groovy Plants Ranch.
Okay. Next, we have Micah Peet, M-I-C-A-P-E-E-T. This is actually, so somebody suggested this. However, I also found this account. They make really beautiful plant jewelry, necklaces, earrings, like a bunch of stuff like that. I think they have like a really cool, if I'm remembering, they have a really cool fern necklace. I'm definitely going to be making an order from them because it just looks so beautiful. I mean, I love plant jewelry, so it's no surprise there, but it's just really gorgeous pieces.
Awesome. Someone said Aspley Watercolor, which I'm assuming that they make watercolor paintings. That's Asply Watercolor. Ooh, I want to check that out.
Beautiful. I need more like botanical watercolors.
What was that?
They're beautiful, like botanical watercolors, like leaves. Oh. Like, yeah, they're really pretty.
I feel like I need more artwork for my little desk area because it's like the walls are just so bare and I don't know what to do with it. But I'm like, I have this vision of like hanging up just different art pieces all over the place and just have it be like, I don't know, gallery. Like a, yeah.
And you can replace that banana leaf.
Okay. That's in the bathroom. And okay, this is inside joke, but Becca was at a store the other day and there was this framed portrait or like watercolor painting of a clearly Monstera leaf, and underneath it said banana leaf, and she posted it in her stories, and I was like, okay, I feel seen because my mom bought that and we have it hanging in our bathroom, and I just exposed myself, but I was like, I can't be seen with this in my house. Like, if somebody comes here, this needs to go away. So I was literally peeing the other day and I took a picture of it and sent it to Becca and was like, it haunts me every time I sit on the toilet.
It's so funny. I was standing in line at Marshall's and I looked down and I saw that. I was like, what is this? And I took a photo of it and the person behind me is like looking at me and I'm like, anyway, move along, lady.
False advertisement.
I know. Okay, let's see. For pots, Ivy Main Shop. I have also purchased pots from Ivy Main Shop. They do like, I wouldn't say it's clay. Maybe it's like a form of cement. Like, it's kind of different. Like, it's between clay and cement. I'm butchering it. I'm sure you can go on their website and like find out what the material exactly is. But they make multicolored pots, like terracotta, in the terracotta color range, and then they also do something called a giving pot where all of the money like that is made from that specific pot, they use that money to help out like certain like families or just causes. So that's a really good one, and the giving pot is really pretty, so I would suggest that one.
Awesome. The giving pot, you said?
It's the shop is called Ivy Main Shop.
Let's see. We just have a couple more here. Someone said, I love Canopy Plant Company. The plants that you receive match the pictures and they're very healthy. I feel like that's important too, because sometimes shops will, you know, grow plants and maybe they'll take a cutting from it and they'll say that in the description, but sometimes the pictures won't coincide with what you're getting. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's kind of important too. So the Canopy Plant Co.
Yeah. Okay. Another one is Green Philosophy Co. They have plant throw pillows and like blankets. They have like anthurium. It looks like they have gloriosum, just stuff like that. Like just a bunch of different succulents, all that jazz. I have two pillows from them actually, and they're very cozy, like very, very, very cozy, super soft, and I love them. And on that same note, Garnished Garden is another plant pillow company, and they do like, they also do an Alba Monstera. They have an outdoor pillow. I bought like an anthurium outdoor pillow from them, and then they have like pet toys shaped like plants. So those are two really cool like plant pillow companies.
Awesome.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the things, maybe some accessories or things that like we have in our homes that we use that we think would be great gifts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Personally, I guess I just want to like start off by saying there's this cart, and I know that you guys have seen it. I'm sure everyone has seen it. IKEA has a similar looking one, but I think I got mine at Michael's. It's like a 3-tiered rolling cart, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. literally have all of my plant supplies on that 3-tier cart, and it is mm-hmm. so handy.
Yeah, I love like that your thing. Cart.
So that would be a great gift, I think, for anybody plant-wise, but also like craft-wise, mm-hmm. bullet mm-hmm. journal-wise. Like, it's just a really nice thing to have, like, all your stuff in one little roller cart.
Mia has one. I think it's called a Roskog cart, R-O-S-K-O-G or something like that.
Yeah.
And she keeps all of her craft supplies on it, and it's really cute. But also, they came out with lids for them, like for the top shelf, so that you can turn it into an actual shelf. So like you can have your supplies below it, and then you can like keep a plant on top.
Oh, nice. Ooh,
that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is cool. That's a good one. I would not have thought to even mention that.
Another one of my absolutely favorite things. This one came from Amazon, but I talked about this in one of my recent Hoya videos, and it's hard to have trellised Hoya on my IKEA shelves, and these shelves are probably the same shelves that lots of people have in their homes, but the trellises, like the bamboo trellises, just don't fit in the shelf. But I did find these like metal circle trellises on Amazon that I think are only 13 inches tall, so they fit on those shelves, so I can have my trellised Hoya mm-hmm. on my shelves for my Hoya. So that is another really great gift. I don't know if those trellises would be good for other plants. I mean, I would really just probably say Hoya in general, because philodendron and aroids and that such, they want to go just like up and not yeah. in a circle, whereas Hoya can go in a circle and that kind of stuff. So, mm-hmm. But they're really cute. And probably, I want to say my third favorite thing that I personally have, it probably, and I've talked about this before in the pod, but it is just my battery operated spout on my 5-gallon water jugs. And I know yes. not everyone's going to have like 5-gallon purified water jugs in their house. But if you do, if you use that for your humidifiers or anything else, that spout is seriously so, so handy. So that's mm-hmm. a really great gift to give someone that they might not think about needing it, but when they get it, they're like life changed. So
yeah, I need to get one so bad, like so bad. Oh, I think about it.
Are
every
you still
single
picking
time.
Up the bottle and gurgling it out?
Yep, yep. And every single time, I lose so much water, and I'm like, wow, I need to get that thing. Okay. Yep. Yep.
All right, Becca, why don't you tell us your top faves?
Okay, so I'm thinking that if you want to give somebody a plant-themed gift, they usually are in the beginner realm. Like, that's what I would, like, none of my super close friends have a lot of plants besides you two. So I would probably go for something like a moisture meter, like maybe like a mm-hmm. nicer one, like a splurge mm-hmm. one, maybe like the $10 to $15, $20 ones. I mean, I don't think you necessarily need to get an expensive one, but if you wanted to get one with like more features, maybe.
Yeah.
Also, the yeah. basic one would be just fun to throw in with a plant in a pot or something. But like moisture meters are just so helpful for me. Even though I'm an experienced mm-hmm. plant person, I still use it in the turn of the seasons quite often. So that's definitely like number one thing I would suggest buying for someone. Number two, yeah. pottery, like a specialty pottery. Yeah. I've talked about lots of different pottery places, but Terra Vita is such a great pottery shop. They have beautiful pots. They do big restocks pretty often. And so I'd suggest them. It's pretty universally designed. Like, it's usually just like white and terracotta, like speckle, which looks good in pretty much every aesthetic. And it's not an orange terracotta. It's like a more brownish. So yeah. try to find like a good pottery place. I've also just looked on Etsy for plant pottery, and I found some cool shops just through that, not even knowing who they were. And then lastly, my third, can I say De La Tank's soil?
Yes.
I'm gonna
yes, you most definitely can.
Yeah, the De La Tank soil, I think depending on where you live, shipping might be, I don't know. I don't even know if I can say that, because we talked about this before. I thought the shipping would be super expensive, but it's like shipping a plant, honestly, with the price.
Don't even talk about shipping.
Yeah.
Because not everybody's, it's not expensive for everyone. Yeah. So.
It's like shipping a plant, you know, but anyway, so if you want to do something like extra fun for somebody, buying them that soil is a really great thing because it makes their life easier. I think gifts are best when they make someone's life easier. Mm-hmm. Or like it's like really sentimental. Those are like the two types of gifts I like to give. So I'd say the De La Tanks is great because they don't have to mix their soil and you could turn them onto a really cool product that they might keep using. But if not, it's just nice to have that even for a short time while you have the bag. It's just very convenient. So that's my list.
Yes.
That's a nice list.
Love that soil. Just picked up two big bags.
I know. Your outfit was fire.
That was a nice fit.
I bought those. Well, the picture wasn't that great because I really need to get him some like some tips, some tricks, but whatever. But I bought those plaid pants for our cruise for like a formal night. So I'm excited.
Looking good. Mm-hmm. You need to do OOTDs in your videos, please.
Yes.
Oh, I should. Yeah.
You should.
Nude beach. Okay. OOTD.
Yeah.
OOTD.
Just me. Good Lord gave me.
The birthday suit. All right. So a couple of plant gifts that I would give to people, and this is really pretty much based on what I would have really appreciated as a new plant owner myself. Plant labels. Plant labels are just key in my house and in video making in general, because I can't remember the names of plant. Even though I know what the plant is, it can't exit my mouth. I don't know what it is. Like, I just can't think of the name on the spot. So plant labels are great just to have. And especially if you don't know a lot about plants, you can, you know, put the label on there. Maybe you could put like care tips on the back. Mm-hmm. Some labels that I really like are the bigger ones that are like 1 inch by like a half an inch long. So it gives you some writing space. So you could put like water requirements or whatever on there. But I love those and need them. And then another one that I recently got is the Catchy, which I think would be a really great gift for people that might be building their plant collection and maybe they don't know what a fungus net is, and then they find out and then they think they have a problem until you get a Catchy. Hashtag not sponsored, but I really like this thing. Like, it's, I've filled up like two of the sticky pads. Pretty much what it is it'll catch fungus gnats for you without you having to look at the ugly sticky traps that stick out of your plants, even though they make some cute ones, which we all have used before, like the little butterflies and the stars.
But the paper on the butterflies is so hard to rip off. I'm like, why? This really is a terrible design choice.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. You got to get in there. And you're always getting sticky, you know?
Oh, yeah. That stuff's awful to get off your skin, too.
It is, yeah. But the Catchy is great because it's very quiet. It has like a little fan motor, so it sucks them in. But then it also has a blue light, which attracts them to the machine. And then it shoots them down to the sticky. It's very violent, but it'll solve your problem.
And you don't have to look at their bodies struggling.
Yeah.
Which is the worst part of sticky traps. I hate it. I feel horrible.
I know. But then like you have guests over and they're like, oh, you have so many plants. They're so beautiful. Oh,
what's
you have
that?
Carnage everywhere.
Well.
And then I guess my last one would be plant scoops, potting scoops, like soil scoops.
Yes.
Because it's such a simple concept. But like if you're just using like a little paper cup or a solo cup, you just keep it in your soil bag. I'm speaking about myself here, by the way. And then you like try to, you know, like the more you use it, it's gonna like break and fall apart. Soil scoops have that little lip on it and it's just like directional when you're potting.
So they're nice. Great. What a luxury. And you don't, your hands don't get dirty.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So those are my three favorite. But I wanted to ask you guys if you guys would be okay with me also putting some slides up for all the Etsy shops that I'm going to be kind of talking about later on this week. Mm-hmm. And I can put those in our highlights too, because they're all small businesses and they're all plant related and a lot of really cute plant. I just filmed the video like 2 hours ago, so I know everything that I have. And some of these gifts are so stinking cute, you guys. Like, I'm blown away by how creative these people are. Like, I would have never... Yeah, it's just really cute stuff. So I would love to tell more people about them.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, the more ideas, the better.
Yeah, honestly, okay, so this giving is gonna gifts be a... is so hard. I sometimes take it too far, and I'm like, I want it to be so sentimental and mean so much. And then it gets to the end, and I'm like, what do I get, people? Ah!
Yeah. It's better to have more. And this will be... It'll be nice because we can put, like, we'll put each shop in a story, like we said earlier, and then we'll create a highlight bubble. So they'll always be on our Instagram page in one of those little highlight bubbles for you guys to just tap, tap, tap through. Shop, 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 shop. That was fun.
Is that all we have for our gift guides?
That's all we have for our gift guide. Happy shopping.
Alrighty. Listener questions. Okay. And wrap up.
Let's get into our listener questions. So we've been asking you guys to submit questions to us, and we've gotten to a few sporadically, but we're going to get to the rest of them today for our season 3 finale. So continue to submit questions to us at poddittogetherpodcast@gmail.com. Okay. So our first question comes from Jen K, and they said, I have two spider plants and I've only ever had one baby sprout. Are they slow growing, or what can cause the lack of babies? They seem healthy otherwise.
Okay. I'm going to say it needs to be more pot bound and then it'll put out babies.
Yeah. Yeah, I fully agree. I don't think you should base the health of your spider plant on if you have like hordes of tendrils with babies on them, because while that's cool, like that's usually the plant being like, okay, we've lost space here, so like let's spread out. But yeah, that would be how you would get more, if you want the look of just like babies dangling from your spider plants, like Becca said, it once it gets more root bound. And those are some blah, blah. They're substantial, like those roots are thick.
Yeah,
two seeds.
Yeah, thick with two C's. They look like the white things you get with your pho. What is that stuff called? I don't remember what it's called.
I don't either.
They do be thick. Yeah.
They do be thick.
Yeah, that's what I would say for that one. Just wait it out.
Question number two comes with some photos, so I don't know if you guys want to pull that up in Trello, but this comes from Gosnell McDermott. They say, hi guys, maybe you can help me out here. I got this Hoya carnosa compacta that I accidentally overwatered right before going on a 5-day trip, and it has been looking terrible ever since. It's been about a month, and I haven't seen it get any better. I'm not sure if I should let it hang out for a while longer or try to chop and prop a few good spots that I have left. Any help would be great, thank you. I keep it right next to a west-facing window and water it about once a month so that the soil can dry out. I mean, first of all, Gosnell, I just want to say that I had the same exact thing happen to multiple Hoya carnosa compactas. A couple of your vines look like they're just done for good, so I don't even know if they're worth trying.
Yeah, but the brown bits.
Yeah, I wonder if it's a root rot issue. Green.
The stem being all wrinkly. I don't know what it is about the carnosa compacta, because like I said, I've had that happen where just like I've had a whole full pot and one vine was just like, nope, I don't want to be here anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah.
I'd say take cuttings and start over.
I would, yeah, for
that
sure.
That root system's probably shot.
Compactas, they do take a little longer to root than other Hoyas do. I don't know why, I don't know if it's been like that for you, Adam, but for me, it takes a while. So I would say take cuttings and then don't give up right away. Like if you don't see anything, like just wait it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just going to say, I actually just cut my compacta recently because there was nothing saving it. So I cut the tips off and started propagating them as a last ditch effort.
Yeah.
And are they okay?
They're in my prop box now, so yeah, the leaves were wrinkly and they've started to fill out, which makes me think that it's growing roots because it could take up moisture, so
yeah,
that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, check out Adam and Nicole's like propagation videos for Hoya and start over. It's, you can definitely still salvage some stuff, but it might also be one of those situations where it's like a lesson learned and you lost the plant. But hopefully not. Hopefully not. But yeah, hopefully at the same time, I don't know, maybe like the side of it feels worth it for you to fix it, like to propagate and like go through all of that, because the plant is going to take a long time to get to back, to get back to what it was, because compacted just in general grow so slow in my experience. So it's going to be a while, but it's still salvageable.
Okay. Next question comes from Madison Moore. They write, "Hi, Adam, Becca, and Nicole. I'm not a fan of moss poles or cedar planks, but I have several climbers that need support. I've been trying to brainstorm a creative solution, and I think I may have found one. Maybe. Do you think it would be possible to take some pottery clay and make a pole with it? My thought is that the clay would act like terracotta and therefore might stay a little moist, helping aerial roots grow well. My concern is that some types of clay may affect the pH balance. Anyway, wanted to see if you know of anyone that has tried this or and if it worked. Thanks for all the laughs, Madison."
Aw, that's sweet. Thank you for writing in, Madison. I know nothing about, like, the pH balance and, like, having a reaction with clay. I would think that it wouldn't, because some pottery is made from clay and, like, we pot our plants in it. I think that that's a kind of a good idea to try. I don't think that it would hurt to try. I would say if it was me, I would try it with like a cutting or a plant that I don't really care that much about, mm-hmm. and see if it likes it.
I'm just trying to figure out how that would work. Like, you would have to like sculpt a pole from like terracotta clay and then like fire it and do all that. Or I don't know if they're like saying like to like glue a bunch of pieces of broken clay to a plank of something. Like, I'm kind of not visually understanding, but like, it is porous, like the roots should like climb it, but you'd have to keep it wet. And see, like, the issue is the clay dries kind of fast in comparison to like spag, which is typically what's used, and then the cedar, like wood, is just what they climb in nature, so that's normal for them. So I don't know, actually. That's a good question. It'd be a fun experiment. I just can't visualize it.
I was kind of thinking, like, when I was reading that, what I was envisioning is just like a cylindrical piece of clay that they would have to sculpt. But clay is, I mean, it's heavy. So I just don't know logistically how that would work. And my other concern, like, I guess none of my concerns are pH, because I don't really understand pH in soil. I mean, I do with my hydro plants, but like there's no pH there to begin with. So I create the pH that I want. But my concern is that through capillary action, if you're porous clay, you're going to have to water that plant a lot, because it'll constantly wick up the water in the soil from the soil. So I don't know if that's going to be a good solution. And look, I don't love moss poles either, but I've recently been seeing people who use a PVC pipe and they put a cap on the bottom of it and then they run a wicking cord around it, like spirally, and dip the cord all the way into the pipe. And that way the pipe is like a self-contained reservoir. And then they put moss on the outside and like wrap it in like a cage. So the moss is constantly getting wet from the wicking cord. So honestly, that would be a good solution. Yeah. But you said you didn't love moss poles, so I don't know if you'll love that, but
yeah, that's hard. That is difficult, but with the weight, like, I think that a terracotta or like a clay pole would be way heavier than the pot itself, which would throw things off balance. And if it falls, everything is going to break. And then you've just wasted like all that time and resources making this solution that is probably going to fall and break.
Yeah. But I like the thought. So I feel like, maybe if you test it out, keep us updated, because that would be kind of a cool thing to see. Okay, next question from Delaney Tompkins. They write, "Hey, Potted Together Podcast, coming at you from Alberta, Canada," which, Alberta is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love Alberta, Canada. I have a question for an upcoming podcast episode. I'm wondering, what is your favorite plant this month, and what plant, if any, are you not feeling this month? I'm interested in hearing everyone's answer. Mm-hmm. Nicole, what's your favorite plant this month?
Oh, man. Probably my Hoya albivata splash. Splishy splash, I like to call her.
Dare you?
That was take yours.
It's going to be mine.
Yeah, it's just living its best life. It's doing so well. Yeah, so it would have to be that one. And then what was my least favorite?
Yeah, if any. If you don't have one.
My Monstera elbow cutting.
Stressful.
It's just, yeah, it's the stress level. It's like the one plant I check every single day. I look at the roots. I make sure, like, I put too much effort into this chick, and like, I shouldn't. I should put more effort into the plants that are giving me rewards. But anyway, it's pretty, but she a diva. Okay.
Okay, Becca, what about you? What's your favorite plant this month?
My favorite this month, I'm going to say, is my Anthurium moraquianum, just because, for no other reason other than she finally put out a new leaf. I really, really took a big risk. Like, I repotted it and I removed it from like the big stump that it was attached to, because I saw roots growing off. Like, it was an offshoot. My plant's an offshoot from another like big stump. And I was like, I just feel like this stump is like rotting and like causing issues for the plant. So I'm going to detach it. And I was certain that I killed it. Certain. And I was so upset. And then I started seeing the actual like new leaf starting to pop out. And I was like, wow, I did it. It's good. And then it put out a new leaf like really fast. So that's a big win for me, because that plant has been a big struggle. And then my least favorite plant of the month would probably be my Raphidophora tetrasperma.
Really?
Because I'll send you guys a picture, but like at the ends, like the ends of the growth tips, there's like these like balls forming.
I had that happen with mine.
Yeah, what is what? Going on?
I got like rid of it because I was like, I hated it.
I know. I'm like about to throw it away. I'm like, what are you doing? This is so weird. It's not a very pretty plant anymore, and it's like super easy to find. So I'm like, should I just start over? Like, I kind of want to.
Yeah.
Under 20, less than 20. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
Get rid of it. You got to send me a picture, though, because I'm very curious as to what's going on there.
Yeah.
Nicole wants to see your balls.
I'll send you a picture.
Okay.
So for me, I think my favorite plant at this time would be my Hoya silver dollar, since Nicole took my Hoya obovata variegata splash.
You could have the same as mine.
And I would say my least favorite plant at the moment is probably my Hoya macrophylla variegata, because
really,
I just don't know. I think it was reclassified to a latifolia. It's just, It's just not, you know,
I'm not doing it. For
it's
you.
Not my fave right now. So yeah. there's okay. My answers there.
Cool. Well, thanks for writing in. That was a fun question.
Yeah, that was a fun question. Okay, we have two more listener questions. This one comes from Joy Wright. It says, hello, Becca, Adam, and Nicole. First of all, I love your podcast and look forward to it every week. Thank you, Joy. Second of all, have any of you guys had to deal with an ant colony finding its home in the soil of one of your houseplants? If so, how would you deal with it? And is there any way to prevent it from happening? Also, is it harmful to the plant? If you couldn't tell, I'm currently dealing with this situation. Thank you.
Wow. Well, that's never happened to me.
Me either. I've had ant problems in a house, and I just did like borax and sugar.
Yeah.
And that's how I take care of it. But I've never had ants in a pot, so
I would probably, if that happened to me like tomorrow, I would probably just repot the whole plant. But maybe like if you're able to do it outside, I don't see a need to kill all the ants. Like, just repot it outside and shake it off, and then maybe treat it. Well, you wouldn't necessarily have to treat it, because ants are not like they're not there to eat your plant, right?
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ants don't want plants.
No. And ants are also like, they'll leave if you disturb their area. They'll all leave.
Yeah. So I would just suggest repotting it, like outside, shaking them all off, giving them a new home, and just putting your plant in new soil. I wouldn't necessarily try to kill an entire colony of ants in your plant. Yeah, that'd be kind of nasty. Mm-hmm. If there's a lot in there.
Yeah. And you can water in with insecticidal soap if you, like, after you repot, maybe, just to make sure. Yeah. But that's never happened to me before. It's wild. Even outside, that never happened to me.
Yeah, me neither. That's interesting. I can imagine it's easy to happen, though. Like, if they find their way in there and they're just hanging out and they're like, ooh, it's cozy in here. Mm-hmm. Let's build a colony.
Last listener question. Sorry, this is getting lengthy, so I'm just trying to rush through this. But this comes from Gabe from Malta. Hi, guys. Ooh. I love your podcasts and look forward to it each episode. You guys have a great chemistry and have characteristics that are so endearing and funny, like Adam's soothing radio voice. Well, thank you. Nicole's cussing. And Becca's alter ego, Becky Calhoun.
I love that.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. That is hilarious.
So my question is, do you sometimes feel like plants just give up on life no matter how well you take care of them? I've had quite a few plants, for example, a China doll plant and even a spider plant that just decided to slowly kill themselves. I never over or underwatered them. Their roots were great and not confined. They were placed in bright indirect light, east-facing window, and there were absolutely no bugs or spider mites. It's literally like the plants just said, screw you. The logical side in me knows that I made some kind of mistake in caring for them. But then when I remember that I've had dozens of houseplants and have lasted for years without any issues, I just cannot understand why these plants went and unalived themselves on me. Thank you so much, Becca De La Tanks, my cleaner leaves and not boy, best superhero name ever. And I look forward to your input.
Let's hang out. You sound like fun.
let's have them on the podcast.
I do feel like plants just give up. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Sometimes plants just want to go. I fully believe that.
They're just like, ah.
This is it.
I feel like if you're keeping lots of other plants alive and you're just having issues, that plant just didn't want to be there. But it could be like a pH thing. I don't know for sure because I don't have a lot of plants in soil. So I wonder if you could give those certain plants a couple more tries to see. But, don't beat yourself up. It happens. Sometimes they just don't want to be here.
Yeah.
And I have a China doll, like just recently got it. And she's picky. Like, really picky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, she's delicate leaves.
She's doing the whole, Fittonia flop thing. And I'm just like, oh, do I want you? But, So don't, like Adam said, don't beat yourself up about it. Sometimes plants just want to give up on life. And that's just what it is,
Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
Can't please them all.
It's not always a reflection of you. So, it's all right.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is it. That is our podcast for today. That's our finale of season 3. We've come to 3 seasons.
3 seasons. We did it.
We'll be back though.
We'll be back in 2022. From our podcast to you, we hope that you have just an enjoyable holiday season, that you take time for rest, relaxation, some self-care, and we'll see you in the new year.
So wild. We'll see you in 2022. 2022 is a beautiful sounding year. All even numbers.
It is.
3 even numbers. We love that.
We love that. Find us on Instagram, Potted Together, and individually, De La Plants, My Clean Leaves, Not Dude, and enjoy your holidays, and we'll talk to you next year.
And shop share small. Our podcast with your friends.
Yes.
Gift to us, as your holiday gift to us. Of course, we're wanting to expand our podcast and maybe eventually, have it give us something back financially. But at this point, we are just having fun, and we would love if you would share the fun with someone.
Yes. Share the fun.
Ooh, you rhymed.
All right, friends. Well, yes, let's get off here, and we will talk to you next year.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
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 Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.